Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 123, Mitchell Lee, a.k.a. Harvey Specter. Mitchell, or Harvey as he goes by, is one of the young guns, and this is my second interview with Mitch, and first episode was 57. Go back and listen to it and get his background. In this segment, we spend some time catching up on his business, and we find out some very cool things that he's doing. One, namely, he's outsourced a lot of his prep. I mean, he was using a prep company, still is using a prep company for his online, but his retail arb, he's outsourced to a fellow seller, someone who loves that part of the business. And we spend some time talking about that and catching up on what's going on in his business. Let's get into the segment. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest is, you know, it's just amazing to me to sit back and watch the success some people just naturally have. I mean, it's just naturally a talent, I believe. Mitchell Lipp, Harvey Specter, young gun number 3, probably, or 4. I don't know what pecking order you were in. I assume Matt and Todd got together first just because they worked together. Welcome, Mitchell, Harvey, young gun number 3, 4, whatever. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steven. Always a pleasure.
It really is. We're going to be seeing each other in a couple of weeks, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to catch up because we had such a good time last time we were together. I missed you at ASD. I didn't make it out there. I assume it was a good time.
It was a fun time. We had a little more fun this time than the work trip in February. So
I did see the pictures. I did see in February. That's right. We did see each other in February. I was just there for the magic show for shoes and clothing, so I couldn't do both. No way.
Vegas twice in 2 weeks would be a very tough sell.
And I don't know how it was for you. The temperature, you know, that dry heat stuff is nonsense, man. At 108 degrees, you step in the sun, you scald, you know, my East Coast frame is just not built for that, and boom, I'm like, I gotta get an air conditioner.
I know, when I walked outside, I was looking for the person that was picking me up, and I all of a sudden I took like 5 steps to my left because I literally thought I was like in somebody's exhaust. That's how it felt. That's how hot
yeah.
It was.
It's like a convection oven. Honest to God, you know, it's like that hot air just moving. Oh, man. You know, those are hard people who do it. God bless them. So let's talk about how things. So you were episode number 57, and it was really right around the end of last year that we chatted. Actually, it was before the end of the year, but I posted it, you know, just the beginning of January. And you just came off a great year. I mean, you had a great year the year before, but last year you really hit a stride, and you did over $2 million. And you were working out of your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that still true?
I am still working out of the house, though I do have a storage unit that I can ship pallets from. So I ship maybe 1 or 2 pallets a month. And we've outsourced probably 85% of our prep, even for our retail arbitrage, to another Amazon seller up in Cincinnati.
Right, and I know who that is, and I won't say his name until he's ready to come on, and I don't want to do that too. But I love to talk about that whole operation because I think what he's doing is great, and it seems to be his forte. That seems to be what he enjoys. And I just think that there's so many opportunities in this business to find out what you like and do that. You don't have to all do the same thing because not everybody's wired that way.
Exactly. I mean, the funny story is we always talk about, you know, we go to these conferences, you know, to listen to the speakers, but it's more of a networking thing. Especially the bigger you get, the more you get out of your contacts as far as in the business. And I literally met him the last day after lunch. Just I literally sat at a table because I was tired. And he was sitting there, and we just started talking. And, you know, now we're, you know, dropping off or shipping to him, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pieces a month, which, you know, he's turning around in 22 to 72 hours. So we've lightened our prep load, you know, probably by 85-90%.
And yet he's in heaven because that's what he likes to do. I mean, he's created himself a great little business.
Very good at it, and he goes above and beyond. I mean, if he finds out something is wrong with a listing, or a listing needs to be put back together, or a variation added, like, he does everything above and beyond. He sent somebody down to pick stuff up for me just yesterday because I didn't have a way to get it up to him. So he sent somebody to come and get it.
I think the value is he was a seller. Now, I don't believe he's selling anymore, or maybe he's doing a little bit, but he was. And so to have that perspective, right, to have that, just the ability to know what we all deal with as opposed to a processing house, which there are other fulfillment companies that actually do process. But, boy, knowing the particulars and knowing the poly bag requirements and the label cover-ups and all the rest of that jazz, or how to remove a sticker. It sounds so easy. They're not easy sometimes.
Yeah, when you get somebody who is already smart, they know the business, you know, they're motivated, you know, they got common sense, and they'll go the extra mile. You want to keep those people around to, you know, do business with, and provide them referrals and whatever you can to help them out, because he's sure done a lot for me.
Yeah, and the other thing is he had his perspective on how he did it, and then he picks up your perspective. He gets to pick the best of both. I can't even say that word, man. I'm struggling that one. But it's true. He gets the best practice of – that's what I was trying to say. The best practice from both of you, and build it into the ultimate practice, right?
Yeah, there's definitely been things almost weekly where he'll call me or text me and say – I cannot believe you're not doing this and haven't been doing this. Or he'll text me and say, wow, I can't believe I never thought of doing that. That's like so simple, and everybody should be doing it.
And that is so cool, and that is why you need to go to conferences. I understand they're expensive. I understand. I was just at a trade show. I just got back. The days are running together. And so I'm hanging out with Leron Hirschkorn and Andy Slammons all day for a couple days. And, you know, the things that you pick up, you know, I mean, both of them are great, you know, great guys, but great sellers. And the things that I picked up from those two, and quite frankly, I was able to find some things for them, you know, I mean, it's just such a great opportunity. You have to participate in that stuff. But again, you have to be a squeaky wheel. You have to put yourself out there. You got to get in at your comfort zone. You've got to, you know, and some people don't like that. You know, you're not an outgoing guy sometimes. Sometimes you're kind of quiet. And so that's probably a little uncomfortable for you sometimes.
Yeah, the older I get, it seems the more introverted I get. But I still like to have a good, you know, good conversation. I've always been, you know, selective about my friends and stuff. But there's a lot of good people to meet. And like you were saying, it, the good people, you know, Andy and Leron, obviously I know them. And, you know, when I went to ASD in February, you know, I was pretty much a deer in headlights. But then this time, the first day we went, I think I'm the one that found the big deal for the Young Guns group, at least on the first day. It was a mid five-figure deal that we're going to do real well on in the next several months. So it felt good to contribute, because the first time in February, I was just kind of, you know, tagging along, hoping not to screw something up, but trying to learn, because that's not really – wasn't my game. But now I'm learning, so.
And you guys did well, because I, you know, Todd lives by me, and I was at his warehouse, and you guys did well with that February deal together. And now, like you say, you've been able to participate. And so that's the beauty of six people. When I was there, had a gentleman reach out to me, really great guy, and tell me about a deal. Now, I'd already done one with Andy and Leron. Actually, I'd done a couple. And so I didn't do it. I wasn't interested in that one. But it was great. And my advice to him is to get two or three other sellers to go in with him, you know, and that way you spread the risk, because it was a pretty big deal. It was like 20 grand or maybe a little bit less than that. And it's like, you know, spread out the risk between a couple sellers, but they got to be people that you trust, you know, and that you can have that relationship with. And my advice to him is, what'll happen is next time when they come across a deal, you're going to be the first person they think of. And, that's how relationships work, you know, and, man, to me, it's been nothing but great. I've had nothing but a great experience. All right, I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about actually, they're discussion points. They're not really questions, but they're more discussion points from Scanner Monkey, which is a group. It's a paid group, small fee, run by Jay Bain and Cordelia Blake. And it's really great for new sellers to get out of their single mindset to start working with other people. I think that's where a lot of groups have formed from. But I think these questions are going to be perfect for you. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
This episode is sponsored by me. Yes, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. This is the ecommercemomentum.com is actually sponsoring it. And it's because I've been able to get the new website up. Not finished by any stretch, but I had to get it up because the player is so much better. You really want to go check out the player. It lets you do so many cool things, including Clamor. And if you don't know what Clamor is, once you try it, you will love it. You can take snippets and send them to somebody else. It's very cool. But I've also added a blog page, and I have my first post up, and they're just short thoughts that I have. I wrote 19 of them when I was on vacation, just different things that I think I'm hopefully going to provoke some thought and get you thinking about really investing in your business, because I think it's time to invest in this lifestyle business, but I want you to invest in your life. And some of these things are going to be about life. Some of these things are going to be about reducing touch points, things that, you know, are on my mind. And I talk to so many people, they're on their mind too. So I think there's some benefit there. So ecommercemomentum.com, when you sign up, you will get 25. Yeah, here's my big sales pitch. 25 things you can outsource in your business. I think most of them will be intuitive. There's a few there you might say, huh, I might didn't even think I could do that. But you can, and I give you a list of different things, all free. And I just hope you sign up, because then you'll receive notifications when I do post a new blog post or when I have a new episode coming out. These episodes, you know, two a week plus some blog posts, I put out a lot of content. I really hope you enjoy it. Again, if you see somebody that you think is worth me interviewing, send me a note, private message me, and I'd love to talk with them. Ecommercemomentum.com is the sponsor. Take care. Man, oh man, doesn't that retail thing sound really great? It really is, and I know who he's talking about, and he's going to be coming on, but we're afraid he's going to get too many calls about this, so we're going to find a way to do it. But I love listening to, you know, how Harvey is evolving. I mean, his business is always evolving. I mean, these are mega sellers. I mean, he's selling many millions of dollars, and yet he's still figuring it out, always working at it, always trying something new, and he doesn't do it alone. So as you'll hear in here, his brother works with him in the business. They have one of his college friends. And then he's got the young guns. And these are not just relationships where it's just business. As you'll hear, it's very little business anymore that gets discussed. It's more non-business. But there's a reassurance that comes with talking with somebody who is related to your business. There's a reassurance talking about other things, just to know that they're there when you need them. And it comes out in the podcast. Let's get back into it. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Mitchell Lipp, a.k.a. most people will know you as Harvey Specter. And we're just talking about, you know, your business, and there's a few things I really can't wait to dive into. But before that, let's answer a couple of questions. By the way, if you want to find out more about Mitchell and his background, episode 57, it's great, blow you away, and we talk about how successful he's been. It's just a great, great background. I love it. I love your business perspective about working for a company, and you know, I see it more and more every day. All right, here are the questions or discussion points. So somebody brought up that Macy's is closing 100 stores. Kmart, I think, announced I don't know how many stores. Sears is closing a bunch of stores. Sports Authority just completely liquidated everything, right? They sold some of the stores to Dick's, and a lot of the inventory is hitting the warehouses now. Have you benefited in any of the from any of these kind of store closings in your area? And if so, what's your approach to them?
Well, this might be a short answer. I didn't have any Sports Authorities close to me at all.
Okay.
So I didn't go to any. I'm definitely interested in the Macy's. The way I'm interested in that, though, is to I want to visit three or four of them, even if in the same city or different cities that may be closing or even that aren't closing, and see how diverse the inventory is. Because I don't shop at Macy's that much. So if the inventory is pretty standard across all the stores, I'm a lot less interested than if there's, you know, diversity of inventory based on, you know, geography or, you know, if it's in a high end area or not. I'm definitely interested. The Kmart closings, I went to one of them here and I did not find really much to buy. So I think two or three more closed here and I didn't even go and look. But I mean, my business is a little different now. I mean, last year I did a lot more, you know, toys and stuff you would find at department stores. And this year I'm much more into clothes and shoes. So,
right.
Especially during the non-fourth quarter time.
Well, I'm interested to know, you know, what's your logic? I think I know it, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. For the Macy's, why would you not want standard stuff? Race to the bottom?
Well, because there's probably a lot of people doing it, just like me. That would be the main reason.
Okay, so it's Target end cap, you know, same thing, right? It's all of a sudden everybody has it, so the price is going to drop for a while,
right.
and it's not that it can't recover, but you're tying up a lot of money for a long period of time, and I think people need to think about that. Could you have flipped that money 3 or 4 times while you're waiting for the price to recover? Because I'm guilty of it. I mean, I'm not holier than now. I'm guilty of it. I've done it. I don't do it anymore, but because I've learned. But that's a real issue. The Kmart thing is weird because they always hire a liquidator, and there's only like 2 or 3 of them. And if you have a relationship with them, you can go in and get a great deal. But they mark it all back up 100%, and then they take it down 50%. You know, Kmart never sold it at that price, but or they'd still be in business, right? But they and so it's just very hard to get any deals unless you have a relationship. And I've talked to some people that have had those relationships, and they can get sweet deals. But again, you have to have that established before it happens. And maybe this deal doesn't work out, but if you work with it, maybe the next one will. You know? Okay.
Yeah, I can't say I've been super successful with closeouts and store closings and liquidations. I know you've told me about a couple things that you've done out by where you are. I haven't really done a marquee one, you know, that I can talk about or brag about or give advice about at this point.
My experiences now are different too. I wouldn't do what I used to do. I used to buy the whole store, and I have a friend who buys store fixtures. So, I mean, he would take all those, and I would take the other stuff. The problem is, you know, so much of the inventory is great. The rest of it is a lot of work. I mean, I don't want to work that hard anymore. I don't want to do a lot of onesies, twosies, and stuff like that. And so I wouldn't do it again. It was a great experience. I learned a lot. But now I would rather pay a little higher price and buy the inventory that I want. To me, that's a better model because, as Mitchell Lee would tell you, buy time. You got to buy time. So.
I agree.
Okay. Here's the next one. This is really probably relevant for you. It's funny, we were talking about it earlier. What's the best way to attack a trade show? So you had mentioned that, you know, the first ASD you were kind of new to. The second one you weren't. So what did you do different the second one? I mean, was it just a confidence issue once you saw what happened and then the results? Is that what happened?
It was definitely a confidence issue. I learned how to, you know, look at a booth and move on quickly. You know, look at if one thing is priced a certain way, you can oftentimes make an assumption about how other things are going to be priced.
Hmm.
We also knew there were a few booths we spent hours at placing orders and putting orders together, and then they just became impossible to work with after the show. It was almost like, you know, they always go to the show, so they went to the show, but didn't really. There's certain people who really want to do business at the show, and there's other people who, you know, have to go to the show to, you know, punch a clock, and that's kind of what they do. So it's great when you can talk to somebody who has a stake in the company or the business, or not just a sales rep. Or someone you can, you know, build a long-term relationship with. A lot of the stuff we buy is, you know, people we've bought from before. Because, I mean, you're wiring these people, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. So it becomes definitely a trust in a relationship thing. And it's nice some of the booths are in the same places. And you just kind of get a feel for how to attack a show. But I'm by no means an expert, you know, at this point, but I definitely made progress because I tried and I asked a lot of questions. you know, and I learned. I remember the in February, the Big Mouth booth, Big Mouth Brands, I was there, and I'd seen a lot of their stuff at Five Below, and I thought it was cool. And I was looking around there, and they were like, are you an online seller? Well, we don't sell to you. And I was like, well, that's okay. I just think your, you know, your donut pool float is really cool. Like, just let me look at it, you know? So just feeling like you belong is great. And I would say 80 to 90% of the people there are more than willing to work with online sellers, which was very surprising to me.
Yeah, and I think it's just going to get more. Now, actually, we were just there, and they had mentioned that this coming March, they're actually going to have an Amazon sellers section, which is very interesting. I don't know how that's going to work. Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's good and bad, right? And so, you know, that, I mean, imagine, you know, there are 150 that we know of Amazon sellers. That's the other 300 that we have no clue that just, you know, not in our circle that were there too, asking the same question. Hey, I want to be your exclusive sales rep. You know, let me do for you. I can fix all this stuff for you, right? Everybody says the same thing. So I imagine that does get old, but those relationships you have are going to really very well. The other thing I think is that you start to learn what not to buy, right? You know, I say this, when I see the same soap at that one section, the same cleaning supplies, and every same guy had the same ones. I'm thinking, oh my God, all that's going to happen is they're all going to get sent in and the price has to decline because there's too much volume, right? There's not that much demand. And so you learn that.
Yeah, I started asking questions and I learned a lot of products. I mean, this may even be common knowledge, but I was learning like a lot of products that you wouldn't think are related or all owned by the same parent company. And that's why you see the same products grouped together at all those different booths.
Yeah, it makes sense. I agree. Okay, so those are good tips. All right, and this is the last question, right, or discussion point, I guess. They were talking about, and this is you. I always quote you, probably a million in my podcast, because it's true. You have to buy time. And this person was talking about spending money to be efficient. Where have you been able to spend money to be efficient?
Well, definitely the RA Prep Center has been spend of money to be efficient. I mean, I pay my brother very well to work for me, and I hired him to do prep in the warehouse, and he helped me shop. And I realized he was extremely better, unexpectedly, at shopping than he was at prepping, as far as efficiency and skill and production. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to run with what he's good at and what he likes to do versus what he, you know, gets annoyed with me when I, you know, keep piling stuff on him to ship. So I turned him into a shopper. I mean, he's been on about an 8-day sabbatical right now.
Found that he's better skilled for that. That's interesting to hear. What would have led you to believe that he was better skilled? Because you're brothers, so you know each other. So I'm interested to find out why you thought he would be a better warehouse worker than a shopper. Well, and that's not a criticism. It's just a skill set you thought he had, and it turns out he has something different.
Absolutely. He had ran a commissary grocery store for about 8 years. He had experience with pallets, experience with warehousing, experience with shipping, all kinds of stuff. And it just turns out he likes to be free, I guess, just like me, and out doing what he wants and, you know, shopping. So he, you know, gets in the car and goes and shops now instead of, you know, working in the garage or working in our quote-unquote warehouse or storage unit or whatever you want to call it. So I outsourced what he was not as good at, which was the prep. So now we just drop off the prep once or twice a week, and he shops the rest of the time.
And so him buying along with you buying has – I mean, do you get the benefit of almost like three people because you guys are both in sync, and I'm sure you're messaging back and forth and say, hey, hit this, that kind of thing. I mean, is that what happens when a skilled buyer gets really with another skilled buyer?
Yeah, I would say he's pretty close to me now. He's probably a little bit more risk averse than me, which actually is probably better for a second.
Yeah, it's your money.
Buyer, you know, so
right.
he has a college friend that's helping us now, in another city. So I've been actually, I don't know if you'd call it doing less work, but I've been less involved in working in the business and more involved in, you know, working on the business.
Well, I think that's smart as you can, because you bought time, as you would like to say, right? You bought time. You're paying for it.
Yeah, the issue I have is we sell a lot of shoes, so that's a lot of SKUs. So I have to do a lot of pricing, even just to keep up with entering the ranges for a repricer, you know, when you're shipping, you know, hundreds of new SKUs a week sometimes. If anybody's behind, it's me. That's one thing I'm kind of scared to outsource is pricing, because, you know, when do you compete with a merchant fulfilled shoe and when do you not? It's kind of,
and is it a gut thing for you now? I mean, is it because of historically this happened, then therefore this should happen?
I wouldn't say it's a gut thing. I would think it's more of a just experience and observation thing. I know what shoes mm-hmm. will sell for, you know, $30 to $40 higher when they're FBA, and I know which ones, you know, you got to get in the ring a little bit more with the merchant fulfilled, maybe price, you know, 10, 11% higher.
Okay. Are you are you doing any merchant fulfill yourself out of your place, or selling your returns on eBay or anything like that?
I do about one merchant fulfilled order a month.
Okay, so really no scale.
Basically just something I didn't realize was hazmat, or something I didn't realize was hazmat. We've sold like some strangely restricted Under Armour backpacks for whatever reason on eBay this month, because it's back to school.
Right. And that's what I do with them, but, too, because you got to do something with
them.
I mean,
they're restricted for really no rhyme or reason versus the rest of the brand, or it's just strange. So we've done a little bit of that, but no merchant fulfilling. That's the whole reason I started doing Amazon in the first place.
Let's talk about your storage unit. Now, is it like a storage unit, like the normal storage units with the roll-up top or door, or is it one with a loading dock?
No, it just has a door.
So how are you getting the pallets inside? You have them bring a lift gate?
Yes.
Okay. And so you pay a little bit of a premium for that, but that still allows you to meet the requirements, and then you have to meet them there, right? It's obviously a little bit more time sensitive.
We actually don't pay a premium. And the company is very good at calling, and we meet them maybe half the time, and half the time we don't. In the address, I put the code for the gate, and I put the code for the padlock on the storage unit in the address.
So that's a pro seller tip. You don't have a key. You're using a padlock.
Yes.
That's a pro tip right there, because that fixes the need to get a key and make it available. Love it.
Yeah. So I give them the code to the gate and the address, and they still call most of the time. It's about 5 minutes from my house. So one of us can normally get there. But I mean, we talk about buying time and everything. I mean, when I came home from ASD, it was in the middle of the afternoon, and my brother was working, and I could have had him pick me up at the airport, or I could take Uber home. So it would have been nice for him to pick me up, but I probably saved the business, you know, $50 to $100 by taking an Uber versus breaking what he was doing and breaking his rhythm. So it's kind of the same thing with the storage unit. If I can not go, it's great, you know.
You're spending money to be efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another great example. Now, your relationship with the retail processor, you mentioned that are you driving to a central location, or are you driving right to his warehouse?
9 times out of 10, we drive right to his warehouse.
How full, or I mean, what kind of vehicle are you bringing up there?
We have a Yukon, short Yukon, not an XL. That's a sore spot with me and Todd Forster.
Okay. yeah, he's got a massive one.
Yeah.
Jesus.
My brother has a he's got a VW diesel wagon, and then we also have a box truck. And then when my brother's on the road, we'll ship it to the RA prep center.
So you'll actually ship it from the road via UPS to the prep center to get sent to Amazon?
We usually ship FedEx, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so you build that into the cost, right? Sure. It's, you know, if you could fit, because you sell a lot of shoes, so if you could fit, you know, 20-some-odd pairs in there times blah, 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 you could do the math, right? It's not that bad. And especially you're only going short distances, so it's in the same zone.
Yeah, we build it into the cost. Hmm. And, yeah.
Okay. So that's a pretty cool thing.
It is awesome.
And then, yeah, you were outsourced to a prep company for before the retail thing for a lot of your inventory. Is that still the case for that type of inventory?
For like
your OA stuff and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I send my OA to Todd and Matt. They
okay.
Now.
They have in their Delaware location?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so they're able to process for you.
It's just great having people. You know, I've been fortunate. All the prep centers have been, you know, people I can trust and count on. It makes things a lot easier when you can trust and count on, you know, who you're working with.
But again, it's the relationship, right?
It is.
It's a matter of working that relationship and bending when they need you, because they're going to need. I saw, I've seen John Bullard post this, that they're in summer hours, and I saw Brendan post from PZP that due to heat, excessive heat, you know, these are metal buildings, right? And they don't have air conditioning. None of them do. You can't,
yeah.
Right? The doors are always open, that kind of
high
thing.
High ceilings, it's impossible.
Yeah, and so they have to sometimes adjust their schedule. You have to be flexible. Anybody who says, well, they must be there for me, that relationship will not work.
Right.
Because when you need them to bend for you, they're not bending. You know. So you really need to make it a quid pro quo. You know, something each of you can give. So I love that too. So business is good. You've got your brother. You got another guy. Now you outsourced to we call them remote workers. Nathan Hirsch, I just had him on for pre-up, and I love that term, remote workers. What's next? I mean, do you see expanding again, do you think?
I don't know what we're going to do next. I've thought about, you know, shoppers in a lot of different cities. But I think the better long-term strategy would probably be to, you know, free up my time with the RA Prep Center and with, you know, outsourcing some of the shopping as it is now, you know, to spend some of my time trying to do more wholesale and possibly private label. But I've told you before, the problem is shopping is just so much fun to me.
That's your thing. You love it.
So, you know, I don't really know what's next. We're talking about it right now, both amongst my brother and I, my wife and I, you know, the Young Guns group, you know, people I, you know, trust and respect outside of the Young Guns group about, you know, what's next and what's the next move. I mean, there's obviously been a lot of rumors and chatter and things about changes and potential changes. So, you know, it's interesting, but I'm not really fearful or,
it doesn't give you pause,
you know, Chicken Little, you know, the sky is falling. Like I was actually kind of happy because some of the news about some of the restrictions, you know, probably should have bothered me a little bit more than it did. But I was talking to Todd, Forster on the phone, a couple days ago. And, I was like, you know, next year at this time, we're going to be laughing at what we were doing this year at this time and what we were worried about. Because last year mm-hmm. at this time, for August and September, like him, I, Dwayne Malik, and Matt chased Swiffer wet jet mops all over the country. And that was like our number one item was a Swiffer wet jet. And, I mean, we were doing, you know, six figures in revenue. And now, looking back at that just seems crazy. that's mm-hmm. what I was doing a year ago. So a year from now, I'll probably think what I was doing right now is crazy, maybe stupid, you know, who knows, you know?
You know,
I always love, evolving.
And that's what I love. I love the fact that you guys are thinking about it, and but you're not overreacting. You're saying, okay, all right, we'll move over here and we'll move this. This is restricted. Okay, that's not the end of the world. I can just move over to this. And I think that's one of the beauties of an RA model is you're not with a warehouse full of stuff. You know, if they restrict a particular brand, yeah, you have to deal with that. But there's always a market. And generally, if you use Matt Kelly's advice, you buy it right, you can afford to let it go at that price, and you're still going to be kept whole, right? Even on a third-party market or whatever, even in eBay or a Craigslist selling them in quantity, that still exists, right? I just think that's probably one of the most attractive things about what you guys do because you're scaled, so you're not the bottleneck normally, especially since you have the RA center. So I just think it's really cool that you guys keep figuring these things out and roll with it. To me, that's what makes it fun, right? I mean, you must admit it that little bit of thrill, it does give you a little bit of thrill.
I completely agree, and, you know, a lot of the success in our group has been from adaptability. And A, if there was a clear-cut plan on what you had to do and this was the only way you could be successful, A, we would all be bored and probably no one would be successful because everybody would do the same thing and it would just get, you know, whittled down, you know, to nothing. So, you know, I thought more about the restrictions and I was like, okay, well, if it happens on some of these brands, that would really, really suck. But I was like, with what I've done, what I've accomplished already, I feel that I'm 99% equipped, 99% as good or better than most other sellers to, you know, evolve, adapt, and continue being successful no matter what kind of crazy, you know, rules and restrictions and things they unexpectedly throw at us. You know, so I'm trying to look at it as a competitive advantage that, you know, survive and adapt.
And I think it is. I think the fear factor, right, does probably gives a lot of people pause, and so they pull out. You know, I think about some of the things that you've sold, and you've watched the price whittle down, and the number of sellers gone, and then you go back in and look at it again, and it's like, oh my gosh, I couldn't make money at this, you know, a year ago. Now I can again because there's only me and another guy. You know, there was a particular item. I had Jameson Filippi came into town, and him and I went out, and we were at a particular store, and I said, oh, you could do this and that. And he goes, I'm on that listing. And I'm like, oh, you were the guy. And we laughed about it. And he's like, there's only me and another guy now on that list. I'm like, man, I gave up on that a while ago. It was too much of a hassle watching it fall. And he's like, yeah, but it came back. And so now there's two guys on the listing that I was sharing with them, never knew it was him. And it's just funny that it's come back that far. And again, people got off of it because they all experienced the same thing I did and said, hey, I can't make money.
Especially when you can find those when they're like, they're inconvenient, you know, in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right.
You can come back to them.
Now, are you planning any other trade shows this year? Have you thought about it going to anything else besides ASD?
I'm planning to be you in Nashville at the.
Well, yeah, that's a conference, and we could talk about that. We're going to CES again, right? And that's in a few weeks, and we hang out. And you know, I don't want to take anything away from the conference. There's a lot of great speakers. I generally don't go to too many of them because I know most of them, so that helps. And you know what, you know, after hearing them once or twice, you kind of know what they're going to say. But the relationships to me are the best part, right? I mean, you get to talk about your business and in a way with everybody else who's kind of connected, and you can talk about anything. And I never feel threatened in those groups. Do you ever feel threatened in any way or about, oh, I can't tell you my secrets? Because you have no secrets, right? Really?
Yeah, I don't feel threatened at all. The people.
What do you get from it then?
The people that spend the money to go to the conferences are people that want to expand and evolve and learn. So, I mean, I've met people I mastermind with, people I've, you know, do direct business with, do deals with, I mean, it's nice when, you know, I can email or PM or whatever. I mean, I can email David Hawkins, you know, Chuck Hardwick, you know, Chris Guthrie, people like that, that I don't talk to, but maybe once every 2 or 3 months. But if I have a question about a product that, you know, is right up their alley of expertise, I can ask them and they'll answer me in usually a couple of minutes. That's nice to have, you know, that kind of,
with no expectation, right? There's no expectation of anything in return.
Exactly. And usually that comes from, you know, meeting in person, you know.
You know, you were in the business world. Think back to your business career. Can you see a scenario where that would happen in the business you were in?
No, not really. It's either a zero sum game, or they try to position it as zero sum game to motivate you. So, yeah, I was never a fan of any of the extended corporate cultures. The only good corporate cultures were in startups, and we always did so well we got bought within 18 months of me working there.
Wait, and it's always something, oh, you owe me. Remember, you're going to owe me. What do you mean I'm going to owe you? What did, you know, were you Pope doing something? I mean, so, yeah, I agree with you. All right, so Young Guns going strong. You know, and that's the other thing is that, you know, I don't call you a mastermind. I don't think you're even close to a mastermind. You guys are that group, that you know, that network. It's not even a micro network because there's six of you. You got Crazy Uncle Dwayne. You got Mom Karen. You know, Agus is everywhere, right? And then Todd and Matt. You guys have been able to extend this now. Is this year three you're coming on? Two and a half, three,
somewhere between two and three, maybe.
Now think about that. I mean, and to be able to, you know, Chris Green always said this: you get one chance to screw somebody. I mean, think about that for 3 years, and your competitors. I mean, you guys are competitive. I've seen you in action. You want to outperform those other people. I know you do. But that's a long time. What's the secret?
I don't know. Probably 95% of what we talk about is not about Amazon.
Ah. It's about life?
Oh, yeah. Life.
Because you have a life.
Life. They know where to cut. They ask me if they want a new show to watch. And I can tell all of – I watch a lot of TV. So
you're a little bit of a release in essence.
Oh, yeah. It's and everybody just – I mean, the trust factor is just amazing. So – I mean, just good people.
Love it.
I don't know. It's we've been asked several times. It's very hard. It's very hard to define. I would say it's as strong as it ever was. I'm not sure it can get a whole lot stronger.
Right. And I tell people that
in a good way, not in a bad way, in a good way.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure we can go any higher. Sorry. You know, the level that we're at.
I cut you off. I apologize. I was going to say that I've seen other groups start to form, and it's very similar in to what you guys are doing. And it's because of what they've seen, what you guys have been able to do. And it's not an envy thing. It's like a kind of an admiration that people have, saying, you know, I kind of want that relationship too. So very cool.
Yeah, I think a couple people were like, yeah, we saw you guys at the casino playing Pai Gow, and we left and ate dinner and we came back and y'all were just sitting there doing the same thing like 4 hours later, just hanging out. Like, we weren't doing anything. Wow. We were just hanging out. And I was like, really? We were there that long? They're like, yep. We're like, oh.
Well, I can relate because I was with two of the boys. They suckered me into Pai Gow.
At ASD. So.
Yeah, for several hours. The only good thing was Matt didn't smoke next to me. I really appreciate that, Matthew. Really appreciate that. So. All right, very cool. You're open to questions if people have a question they can shoot to you a message?
Sure.
Okay, and I'll put your link for Facebook. Anything else you want to leave us with? Any advice you want to give to that I always say the stuck seller, the person who's selling that $20,000, $30,000 a month, trying to get past there, because that's still not a full-time job. They want to get past there. What would you tell them?
Keep as much money as you can for inventory.
Yeah. Don't rent a big warehouse, right? And that was the message back in 57. You were not renting a big warehouse. You were not doing any of those things because you're saying, hey, I want to put the money back into inventory,
I've always done that. So I don't waste money that, you know, could be on inventory. But when you get to a certain level, you got to buy help. You got to buy time. You got to have a life, you know. So I'm all about, you know, buying the time too. But when you're starting out or you're struggling, more inventory, more sales, more money.
Okay, that's the formula. More inventory equals more sales equals more money. Love it. Hey, thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success. Can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks, and I just can't wait to catch up. Best wishes.
Thank you, Stephen.
Take care. Bye.
Man, another great interview. I just always love talking with him. I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks, and I just can't wait to catch up because he's so smart. So, you know, he can filter right through the nonsense and say, hey, just try this or do this, you know. And again, these relationships, this is why you go to conferences. And it doesn't have to be CES. There are local meetups. Or just go buy somebody some lunch, you know, and talk with them. People want to talk about their business and love to talk about their business. So as long as you don't consume the conversation, you'll be welcome. So check us out, ecommercemomentum.com. I added my blog post, went live, got a couple of them out there. I wrote 17 of them on my recent trip, so I'll start pumping them out pretty soon. ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.